This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area Thursday, March 21st, 2013. Governor John Hickenlooper signed a trio of gun control bills on Wednesday, just hours after news broke that Colorado's top corrections officer had been gunned down in his home. While the moment was overshadowed by the news of Tom Clement's death, gun rights groups say they will use the gun legislation as a part of a campaign to try and remove Democrats from power. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Democratic Representative Rhonda Fields of Aurora has been front and center during the gun debate. She represents the district where the Aurora Theater shooting took place and her own son was murdered. She says gun violence is a problem nationwide, and Colorado has been home to too many tragedies.
While we cannot prevent every act of violence, we must do what we can to reduce the frequency and the impact of these horrible events.
Field sponsored the legislation limiting the size of high-capacity magazines and increasing background checks. Governor John Hickenlooper called for universal background checks during his State of the State address, but says he was ambivalent about limiting magazines to just 15 rounds.
In any difficult piece of legislation, there's pluses and minuses, right? There's costs and benefits. We wanted to make sure that the benefits outweighed the costs, which I think they clearly do.
And one of those costs includes the loss of Magpul. The company is the state's largest manufacturer of ammunition magazines. They've announced that they're leaving Colorado in the wake of the bill's passage.
Those are 200 people that go to work every day. And if Magpul decides that they do indeed have to leave, you know, that's a hardship that's difficult.
It's been an exhausting and emotionally draining session.
That's Democratic Senate President John Morse of Colorado Springs. Even with so much opposition to the gun bills, he says the measures are what the majority of Coloradans want.
And yes, criminals will always find ways around laws, but that doesn't mean that we should surrender to them. We have to do everything we can to save every life that we can.
But Republican Senator Greg Brophy from Ray blasted Democrats for being out of touch.
These guys, they don't like firearms, they don't like gun owners, they don't respect gun owners, and that shows. And I think most of Colorado agrees with us.
Hundreds of gun rights activists had packed the Capitol to testify against the gun control measures. Dudley Brown heads the Firearms Coalition Rocky Mountain Gun Owners. He says the group plans to pour a lot of money into the general election to unseat Democrats who support gun control.
Governor Hickenlooper and the Democrats in the legislature just handed our organization a sledgehammer, and we get to wade through their china shop in the 2014 elections. Our organization and gun owners around the state are going to destroy the Democrat caucus.
While the political rhetoric was out in full force on Wednesday, the mood at the Capitol from both sides was somber in the wake of the deadly shooting of the head of the state's prison system. Tom Clements was gunned down Tuesday night when he opened the front door of his home in Monument. The governor says he'd never worked with a better person and can't imagine his team without him. Authorities say they have no motive for the shooting, and Hickenlooper says he doesn't think it's tied to gun control.
Tom Clements was somebody who worked in what is oftentimes a cold, dark world with a remarkably open and generous heart, one of the most kind-hearted people I know. And I think it's a coincidence, but an incredibly tragic and sad coincidence.
Two other gun bills are still making their way through the legislature, a bill to require domestic violence offenders to surrender their guns, and a bipartisan bill to ban online-only training for concealed weapons permits. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
According to the Denver Post, Colorado doctors are challenging a confidentiality pledge they must sign in order to get information on chemicals used by the oil and gas industry, information they may need to treat patients and protect public health. A state requirement that doctors sign Form 35, developed last year by the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment and the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, aims to protect industry trade secrets while also letting doctors fulfill their duties. But the Colorado Medical Society says the form does not protect doctors from punishment for sharing information about chemicals with other medical professionals and public health authorities. No doctor has yet signed the form. Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission spokesman Todd Hartman said representatives of the industry and the environmental community helped develop the confidentiality pledge. It was designed, he said, to reach the balance needed on a complex matter. But Dr. Mitchell Gersten, based in Cedar Edge, calls it a gag order. Quoting Gersten, "There are spills happening all over the state all the time. This is just about transparency so that nobody is harmed and the environment is not harmed. Why does it have to be so secretive?" End quote. Western Colorado residents, according to the Post, Western Colorado residents say they favor giving doctors better access to information about chemicals. And the Post reports that Colorado has the second fastest growing rate of child poverty in the nation. This according to an annual report from Colorado Children's Campaign. The report found that the rate of children living in poverty almost doubled between 2000 and 2011, from 10 to 18%. Experts say the trend could get worse as the state slowly recovers from recent economic recessions. Only Nevada's child poverty rate increased more quickly. Released on Monday, the report using data from the U.S. Census Bureau found an average of 1 in 6, or about 217,000 children under age 18, are living in poverty in the state. Child poverty is defined as any child living in a four-person home with an average annual income of $22,000 or less. The study ranked the state's 25 most populated counties. Pueblo and Denver counties had the highest rate of child poverty. Pueblo's average rate for 2011 was 27.3%, and Denver's was 26.2%. Douglas County continues to have the lowest child poverty rate, averaging 5.2%. The average rate of child poverty for the 10 metro counties was 16.1% overall. The Daily Sentinel reports that about 20 people who sheltered at a Grand Junction church Tuesday night were told to return to their homes yesterday. They were evacuated after a house exploded nearby. Repairs were completed Tuesday night on the ruptured gas line at 7th Street and Orchard Avenue, which was believed to have caused the explosion at the home. As of yesterday morning, an evacuation order was still in effect for residents along 7th Street between Elm and Orchard Avenues, this according to Grand Junction Police. The cause of the gas leak is still under investigation. However, a private company contracted by the city of Grand Junction was working at the intersection of 7th Street and Orchard Avenue right before the explosion, digging into the ground in order to upgrade the traffic light nearby. Spring sports are underway at local high schools. At last Saturday's annual Delta Invitational track meet, four meet records fell, and all were reset by Delta County athletes. KVNF's Tammy Meck brings us this report.
Brianna Music of Delta claimed the new meet record in the shot put with a throw of 38 feet 7 and 3 quarters inches. Music won the event by throwing more than 2 feet past the old record of 36 feet 6 and a half inches set in 2010. The distance also met the national silver standard, which recognizes high school athletic performances on a national level. The Hotchkiss girls 3,200-meter relay team of Natalie Anderson, May Anderson, Sophia Shelley, and Jenny Solis posted a time of 10 minutes, 14.17 seconds, topping the old record set by Glenwood Springs by more than 5 seconds. Junior Reed Gates of Cedar Edge claimed one of the oldest records at the meet. Gates soared 21 feet 6 and a half inches to win the long jump, topping the existing record of 20 feet 9 and 3 quarters inches set in 2007. Gates also reset his own record in the high jump. The returning state qualifier cleared 6 feet 6 inches, topping his 2012 record by a half an inch. Teammate and Cedar Edge senior Dante Markley claimed the gold in the 100, 200, and 110 high hurdles. Markley was stopped short of a fourth gold by Chris Black of Delta, who claimed the win in the 300-meter hurdles with a time of 41.63 seconds and one quarter ahead of Markley, who placed second. The Delta girls claimed the team win with 137.5 points, and Cedar Edge placed second with 121 points. In male team scores, Palisade High School won the meet with 140 points, followed by Cedar Edge with 123 points. Delta finished third, and Hotchkiss placed fourth. A total of 13 teams competed at the meet. The annual Hotchkiss Invitational Track Meet opens this Saturday at 9 a.m. Dress warmly for this one. The National Weather Service forecasts a chance of snow and a high of 41 degrees. Baseball season is also upon us. The Hotchkiss Bulldogs swept the Glenwood Demon Invitational last weekend with wins over Glenwood Springs, Steamboat Springs, and North Park. On Tuesday, Hotchkiss topped visiting Roaring Fork 4-1. Bulldog freshman pitcher Cesar Gonzalez threw 12 strikeouts and walked only one for the win. Hotchkiss dropped to Class 2A this season, which is likely to intensify the ongoing rivalry with Paonia. The Eagles have dominated the 2A Western Slope League in recent years, and Hotchkiss was a dominant force in the 3A Western Slope League. The first of two doubleheaders between the two teams happens Saturday at Volunteer Park in Paonia, with Game 1 opening at 11. Delta hosts Montrose today. Olathe plays a doubleheader Saturday at Roaring Fork, and Cedar Edge opened the season with a sweep of a doubleheader over Roaring Fork and a 15-3 win over Coal Ridge. They host Basalt in a doubleheader Saturday starting at 11. And a shout-out to Norwood High School. Their girls and boys basketball teams were the only Western Slope teams to advance to the Elite Eight in state playoffs. The Norwood boys finished the season with a 15-9 record and a sixth-place finish in Class 1A. Junior Morgan Rummel hit almost 80% of his shots and averaged 20.8 points per game this season. The Lady Mavericks defeated Caliche to place fifth. Senior Harley Williams averaged 19.5 points and more than 3 steals per game. They ended the season with a 23-2 record. For KVNF News, I'm Tammy Meck.
Thus concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria. Good day.